Lord Jesus, we just come and welcome you. Thank you that you're here, Lord. We welcome you into our hearts, Lord. Thank you that you are right here, right now. You welcome us into your presence, God. Lord, we thank you that tonight we can really say yes to you, God. Yes to what you have for us, Jesus. We come and ask you to give us the grace and the boldness, Lord, to just surrender to you, Lord. Thank you tonight that we can lay down our lives, Lord. Worship you, Lord, for what you're doing, God, in our midst, what you're doing, Lord, all over the nations of the world. Lord, we thank you that we are just part of an incredible bride of Christ that is making herself ready, and we thank you, Lord, that we are such a small part, but yet also such a significant part, that each one of us, Lord, is special to you, God. We thank you tonight that you celebrate us, Lord. We celebrate each one here, each life. Ask you, Jesus, just to come and stir in us again, Lord. Just that revelation of who you are and what you came to do on this earth, Lord, and what you're still busy doing, Lord, 2,000 years later, Lord. By your Spirit, you're still moving and you're still touching lives, you're still changing lives, and we so thank you, Lord, tonight that we can be part of your church, Lord, part of your bride. Thank you, Lord, that the church is your plan. For blessing us, Lord, as we get together, Lord, you are here, ready to bless us. You're ready to fulfill our desires, Lord. You're ready to send us on a mission. Such a privilege, God, to live for you, to partner with you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Jesus. Come and have your way, Lord. We surrender our lives, we surrender our minds, Lord. We consecrate ourselves to you. Thank you that you would speak into our lives the word that you have for us tonight, each one of us. We quieten our minds, we quieten our hearts. We thank you that you want to do a work in us tonight that will last, Lord Jesus. It will bear fruit, Lord Jesus. Give you glory. Isn't God good? Why don't you guys just move a bit closer? Those of you who are maybe sitting that side, don't you want to come and sit here? Come and sit in the front. Come and sit next to someone else. Make a friend. Make a new friend tonight. It's wonderful to have you all. You guys are the bitter einders, you guys pushing through. Some people are on holiday now, but you guys are awesome that you're still in bloom, that you're here. So hats off to you guys. It's wonderful to have you tonight. Trust that you're excited for the word of the Lord. I had the privilege this week of having a birthday. And so, you know, the years go on and the years move on and you kind of, you know, blessed by God's faithfulness throughout the years of your life. And it's awesome, just wonderful to be celebrated. You know, a birthday is just a time of celebration and a time of, you know, you just realize how good God is and how many awesome friends you've got and what a wonderful family you've got and how celebrated you feel. And so, but I just believe, you know, when you have a birthday, you feel like it's an awesome day and you wish you could have that every day. And I believe God sort of wants us to have that every day. He wants us to feel celebrated every day. Amen. He celebrates us. Do you believe that? Jesus really wants you to know that you are celebrated in His eyes. But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, who of you guys have been serving the Lord for longer than 10 years? Anyone know Jesus for longer than 10 years? That's me as well. Anyone longer than 5 years? Quite a few of us. Anyone less than a year that you've known Jesus? Or less than 2 years? Okay, cool. So most of us, it seems, those who didn't put up your hands tonight, you can get to know Jesus. If you you don't know Jesus yet, that's also fine. But I really believe that You know, sometimes we get quite familiar with Jesus. Most of us have been serving Him for quite a while. You know, I think longer than a year, 2 years is actually quite a while. You know Jesus, okay? And that's in that time you can actually get familiar with Him. You get to know Him quite intensely at the start. You know, it's like any relationship. Those of you who are in love and you start to get to, not many of you are married, but some of you are in relationship and you kind of really in love and you get to know the person quite quickly and quite intensely at the start, especially when you're married. That's another relationship, okay? It's intense, and then you really get to love the person. You get to know them quite well. And same with Jesus. And sometimes what happens in our relationship with Jesus is that we can get familiar with Him. Amen. We can sometimes really, we've been serving Him for so long and we know all the tricks and everything and we know the stuff, but there's no revelation of Him. There's often not no, but there's a little, and it sort of fades away at times. And we can get familiar with Jesus, and then we just come to church and we get familiar with the kingdom and familiar with the things of God. And so tonight I want to share two stories, two parables, not parables, they're stories out of the New Testament, out of the book of Mark and the book of Luke. Two stories, very similar type of stories, in that I'll get to that now, but it kind of similar stories of people that, and obviously you can use these stories for people who don't believe, who've never met Jesus, and they can meet Jesus, and that's actually cool. They're really cool stories for people who don't know Jesus, but I believe they're also cool stories for people who do know Jesus, because sometimes we forget who Jesus really is, and we forget to bring our needs to Him and to really desire Him. And so I've called my sermon tonight Desperate for Jesus, and desperate is a bit of a negative word sometimes, you know, like, never, you know, don't be so desperate. You know, we sort of see desperate as a bit of a negative word, and in many ways it is. But I think to be desperate for Jesus isn't negative. I think we must always be desperate for Jesus. We mustn't be desperate for life, you know. We mustn't be desperate to have life happen, you know, and go through life. We mustn't be desperate, but I think we must be desperate for Jesus, and sometimes we must just remind ourselves that how much do we desire Jesus? How much do we really want Him? Are we desperate for Him? That's the best word I can use. And so I'm going to read to you guys two stories. And one is from Mark chapter 5. Just to give you a bit of background, Jesus was at the beginning of His ministry, and He had just been asked to leave the region of the Gadarenes, where He had given the renowned factory, the pork factory, a little bit of a boost. You know, He chased all the pigs down the cliff. You know, they all died and fell into the sea. So the pork people were like, woohoo, you know, let's make some business out of these pigs. You know, He drove the demons out of that guy. Anyone know the story in Mark chapter 4? And so He delivered the demon-possessed guy, and then him and his disciples had gone back, and obviously the people asked Him, please leave this region, because this is wacky stuff, this is a bit freaky what you've done now, Jesus, so please leave, go to another place, we don't want you here. And so He obviously told His disciples, we need to go back across the Sea of Galilee. And there He met a ruler of the synagogue, a guy called Jairus. And this guy pleaded with Him, and he said, please, Jesus, you need to come and heal my daughter, she's almost dying, and I know you can heal her. And so He was on His way with this guy. This is where I pick up the story in verse 24. He's on His way to heal this ruler of the synagogue's daughter. In verse 24, let's read the story together from there. Verse 24 to verse 34, Mark chapter 5. Are you guys ready tonight? Tell someone next to you, God is good. His word is good. Okay. So Jesus went with him. That's the ruler of the synagogue. And a great multitude followed him. Take a note. A great multitude followed him and thronged him. In other words, they were pushing up against him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, you can underline that. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples were like, Jesus, you now wacky. How can you ask who touched my clothes? You see this multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? So they were like a bit puzzled. Jesus wasn't too bothered, and he looked around and he saw her who had done this thing. Saw her, looked at her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Second story. Okay, keep that in the back of your minds. Second story is found in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Some of us know about the story. Yeah, Jesus now, in the other story, Jesus was quite near the beginning of his ministry. Wouldn't you agree? He had just started his ministry in power and drove out demons and all this. Yeah, in this story, Jesus was nearing the end of his ministry. He was going into Jerusalem, and he was actually about to pass through Jericho. He had just healed a blind man, and he was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, and obviously that was where he was going to fulfill his ultimate calling and to die on the cross for all the sins of the world. And yet again, a great crowd was following. So verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, 1 to 10. Then Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Interesting, the Bible says, and he was rich. I thought all chief tax collectors were rich, but maybe not. So they're just making sure, the writer's making sure that we know this guy was a chief tax collector and he was very rich. So he had quite a lot going for him, wouldn't you say? He had lots of money, he was famous, maybe not so popular, but I think he was at quite a good place in the natural in his life. And he sought to see who Jesus was. He sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Any short people in the house? Be honest. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. He looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down, and he received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Two stories, a few things that we can learn from these two stories, which I just want to look at tonight, just as an encouragement for us in our walk with the Lord Jesus. The first one, I've called it reality number one, RC number one, reality check number one. Okay? I've got two reality checks and two truths, which I want us to remember tonight. The reality check number one is that in life, there is always a crowd. Anyone notice that? We're not walking through life isolated or as individuals, even though sometimes you do isolate yourself from people. You know what? Life is full of lots of people. And you know what? When it comes to lots of people, lots of things, lots of stuff, and guess what? Our life gets crowded. So in the story, both of these stories, Jesus was on the move and the crowd followed him. There was a massive crowd wherever Jesus went. And both these two people, both the woman and Zacchaeus, were caught in the crowd. And I think we can be honest with ourselves. Life as we know it today, there's always a crowd, right? Even if you don't know Jesus, there's a crowd. Our lives are full of stuff. Amen. Whether it's in your class, whether it's at work, your life is full. And I'm not talking about a crowd necessarily as people. But you're working in a company, you're working for, there should be people around you, some lots more than others. And then you've got this thing, which represents lots of people. Anyone want to isolate yourself and say you don't have lots of people around you? There's lots of people on Facebook. Lots of people on social media. Lots of people on the internet, all over the place. In the modern world today, life is very crowded. Wouldn't you agree? And so you must think to yourself now, what is the crowd in your life? And it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. Because where Jesus is, there's a crowd, and it's awesome. You know, Jesus will always draw a crowd. Jesus is popular, okay? Generally. In some places he's not so popular, but, you know, I think where Jesus is, churches, you know, there's not one or two people in churches. The churches are fairly full of people, okay? Could be a lot fuller, I guess. But it's just reality. And I want to say that we as modern people have to fight for our time. Otherwise, it gets crowded out by lots of stuff. And you know, the crowd can suck you in. Either the crowd sucks you in because you want to be part of the crowd. Amen. You know, those excited palm tree people, you always want to be in the fun and the crowd. And it's awesome. It's exciting. So the crowd can suck you in, or else you could be intimidated by the crowd. The crowd's too big. Oh, I just want to go on my own. You could be intimidated by the crowd, but the crowd's there. Or you could just hide away in the crowd. However you respond to the crowd, it's maybe up to your personality. But the thing is, we've got to fight for our own time. We've got to fight to not get sucked in by the crowd. And this holiday, again, I was, you know, it's awesome to go on holiday with the family and everything, but I just realized I had to fight for my time with Jesus and fight for my time just on my own, because the kids are around and there's always swimming and it's awesome stuff. But you really have to realize, you know, are you just doing what the crowd is doing? Or are you fighting for your time? And it was awesome. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. And even in my, you know, with my birthday, it was so awesome. So many messages, and it's awesome. And your whole day is you feel so blessed, and it's great. But there's just lots of people in your life, and there's a crowd. And that's great. It's not a bad thing. So that's number one, reality check number one. Life is quite a crowd at times, amen? Reality check number two is each one of us has got a need. Both these stories represent two different needs. The first one was a woman who was outcast. She was obviously, you know, rejected, because a woman who has a flow of blood, if you look at the Old Testament laws, then she had to separate herself for a couple of days. And obviously, this flow of blood didn't stop. So for 12 years, she was a bit of an outcast, and she had spent all she had. So she was poor, she was sick, and she was basically desperate just to survive. And the second was a man who was in a position of authority. He had lots going for him, lots of money. He was a ruler, chief of the tax collectors. Yet in his case, he also had a very deep need. Maybe not as desperate as the woman, but he had a need which he couldn't articulate. I don't think he knew what his need was. But yet he was desperate, because just look at his reaction, or look at his action. Look at both of them, of their actions. They were at a place of, they had a deep desire and a deep need. So I want to ask you guys tonight, each one of us, including myself, you're sitting here and you've got a very specific need in your life right now. A legitimate need. I'm not talking about a want now. I'm not talking about you want lots of money and you want to be successful and rich and all that. I'm not talking about that stuff that you might get, that you might not. But a legitimate need in your life. Think about it right now. Think about what is your greatest need right now. Something you really want, you really need. Not want, you need. Something you'd like to be fulfilled. Some desire that you'd like to happen in your life. Some breakthrough. Some of you may be like the woman, you need physical healing in your life. Some of you, maybe emotionally, need in need of healing. You've tried everything. Others of you are like Zacchaeus. You just need to catch a glimpse again of Jesus. Or maybe for the first time tonight, you need to see Jesus for who he was. Just to see him. That's all his need. His need wasn't to get saved. He just somehow wanted to see Jesus. The woman on the other end just wanted to touch Jesus. Not even Jesus himself, just touch his garment. And maybe you don't even know what your need is tonight. You're like Zacchaeus. You don't exactly know what your need is, but you've got this need in you. There's not a piece in your life. There's something missing in your life. But you know it's there. Maybe circumstances are not so cool. Maybe relationships. Maybe whatever. But what is your need tonight? Maybe you've got a need just to bless someone tonight. Maybe you've got a need just to bring someone a word tonight, or just to bring a word for the church tonight. You've got this need. I was at a wedding yesterday, and I wasn't doing the wedding, but I was just a guest, and I just like said to the Lord, Lord, I just want to, I feel like you want to speak through me today. And I'm like, no, not feeling like, oh, I want to give someone a word. But I just said, Lord, whatever, use me. You know, I don't like to go to a wedding or some place where there's a crowd and I just mean nothing, you know. I always want to bless someone at least, even just smile at someone or, you know. So maybe you've got a need just to celebrate someone else's life tonight or celebrate your own life. If that's your need, then that's great. That is your need. But the Lord gave me a word for the bride yesterday. It was actually quite cool. I didn't expect it, but when she walked in, I just felt the Holy Spirit showing me something. And so I took the word to her before we left when we said goodbye. And she received it well. Praise the Lord. But you see, what is your need tonight? Are you honest about your real needs tonight? Those are the two reality checks. There's always a crowd, and we've always got needs. And many times, the crowd stands in your way. Or maybe you're standing in the way of your own need tonight. Truth number one. The third thing we can learn from the story is that Jesus responds to faith. Amen. See, the woman heard about Jesus. She didn't know him at all. She just heard about him. But his testimony was going out all over the country. And then she said the following. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. How's that for faith? It's a bit wacky, I suppose. And she pushed through the crowd. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, he sought to just see who Jesus was. And what did he do? He ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. That's sounds quite psycho, eh? Hey? A sycamore tree. That's pretty wacky, pretty psycho. But he climbed up into this tree just to see Jesus. It's amazing. I think it's incredible faith. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Anyone heard that saying? I think these two people had desperate times in their lives. There's another saying that goes, where there's a will, there's a way. If you really want to see Jesus, you really want to touch Jesus, you know what? You'll make a way. You'll push through the crowd to get to Jesus. And that's what they did. Both of these people had to break through a number of barriers. Let's look at the first barrier. The first barrier was the crowd. Physically, they couldn't get to Jesus. There was a massive crowd for the woman, and Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. He literally couldn't see him. He was too short. Don't know how short he was, but he couldn't see him. And so the crowd was a number one barrier that they couldn't push through to get to Jesus, or they, you know, that was something that was a possible hindrance. And so we all have crowds in our lives. What are the crowds in your life currently? Is it a lot of people? Doesn't have to be people. But is your life crowded with stuff? Is your mind crowded? The second barrier they had to push through was their own fear. Imagine the woman. What would people think of her? She's now, you know, supposed to be unclean, and she shouldn't even touch anyone because otherwise they will be unclean. What are people going to think? Imagine Zacchaeus, this short little man running up the tree. Like, oh, this is weird. You know, this tax collector, he's lost it. What are people going to think? And what about if Jesus didn't respond? Eh? What about if Jesus doesn't respond? You know, isn't that a fear many times that we have? Let's be honest. And they must have had these fears, but they just decided not to submit to the crowd. They decided not to submit to the fear. I think they were very desperate to get to Jesus. And tonight, the question is, what fears are you facing? Not only what's the crowd in your life, but what fears are you facing? Fear of what other people would think, fear of Jesus may be rejecting you. Is that a possible fear? And if it's real to you tonight, then it's real. But you see, Jesus only responds to faith. And you know what faith is? Faith is being real with where you're at. Amen. It's being real with Jesus as well. But the first thing is you've got to realize where you're at. And both of these people had to tell the truth. Jesus told them, listen, or he didn't tell them. Just because of Jesus, they had to be truthful. The woman said, listen, yeah, I'm feeling so ashamed now because, you know, I've been healed, but now Jesus was looking at me and saying, what's happened? And so she's got to be honest. This is what happened. She could have lied and said, oh, no, I just had a sore place somewhere, or I just had a little physical affliction. No, she told him the whole truth. And same with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was convicted of his sin because everyone said, yo, you're a sinner. And obviously they were sinners themselves. But he didn't like say, I know you guys are sinners. He said, no, I'm a sinner. And if I've taken something from the poor, I'll give it back to them. I'll restore it fourfold. But you see, faith is not only knowing who Jesus is. That's very important. But it's also being real with your situation and putting your situation in the light of an awesome God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. But being truthful and then putting that in the light of who Jesus is, and we'll get to that now. I've seen in my own life that when I'm completely honest, Jesus meets me there. But you know, often many of us say, oh, I'm so blessed, brother and sister. It's awesome, you know, life is great. And we want to act like these blessed Christians all the time, which is not a bad thing. We should be blessed, but sometimes we're not honest with where we're at in our lives. And so then Jesus can't meet our needs because, no, we haven't got a need. Everything's fine. I'm cool, man. It's going great. And we're not honest with other people, and it's not about being honest with other people. It's just if you can be honest with other people, it's just easier to be honest with Jesus. But often we can't be honest with Jesus even because everything's fine. But meanwhile, we have a real legitimate need. And then Jesus can meet that need, you see. So faith is truly recognizing your own failures, your weaknesses, your needs, and knowing that Jesus is the answer to all of them. So that's number three. Truth number one, Jesus wants to respond to your faith, and he can only respond to faith. The Bible says faith pleases God. Amen. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How desperate are we for Jesus? And truth number two, the fourth thing that we can learn from the story is Jesus has power for every need in your life. Ernst, Gerard, Jacobus, Belinda, Heinz, Leonie, Kylie, all of you guys, Tiens, Melissa, everyone. Jesus has got power for your need. Amen. Jesus has got power to heal. The woman needed healing, and Jesus said to her, be healed. And she was already healed, but he meant there, stay healed. You are now healed. Your faith has made you well. Go and walk in that healing. Go and walk in that peace. It's done. I've made provision for it. That is who I am. I'm the healer. But I saw your faith. I saw you believed. You just wanted to touch my garment. That is amazing. I honor that. I celebrate that. You stand out from the crowd. Because you had to go through a few things to get to me. And the same for Zacchaeus. For Zacchaeus, it wasn't healing. It was just his spirit being made alive. It was salvation. Because the Son of God came to visit him in his house. And he says, today, you and your whole household have received salvation. Because you've met your Savior. You see, both were changed because of their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And both of them were restored, and both of them were brought to a place of peace in Christ. So I want to ask you tonight, even the smallest need, are you going to bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe that even if I touch your garment, Jesus, even if I just see you, you're going to recognize me. I'm going to stand out from the crowd. But you see, we have to push through the crowd. Amen. Because sometimes the crowd is all around us. And we don't get to Jesus because there's lots of other stuff crowding our lives. And we're with Jesus. You know, we're in the church. And it's just a picture of sort of the crowd, you know, because, yeah, we've got a crowd going. And, you know, it's good. Church is awesome. And we always encourage to to realize that it's the Our Father. It's not the My Father. It's not just the me and myself. And Jesus came for me. He came for all of us. He came for the world. But often the danger of that, the other side of that is that we can just get caught in the crowd and then you forget about your personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. And it's all about the church and the kingdom and we're all going together and that's great. That's important. And where Jesus is, there will be a crowd. So you need to be in the crowd, but sometimes you need to just stand out of the crowd a little bit and say, Jesus, I'm desperate for you because the crowd's not going to save me. The crowd's pulling me along and, you know, and we can't say it. I was in this church and so I'm going to heaven, or I was in this church so I can be healed. You know, that's not everyone in church is healed. Not everyone in church is saved. Scary enough. I remember speaking to this lady at the varsity end of last year when I went to get my access card, and I asked her, are you in a church? And she said, yes, I'm in a church. And then I told her about Jesus. I said, do you know Jesus? Yeah, no. I said, no, not know about him. Do you know him? I didn't know you could know him. So I prayed with her and I said to her, you know, you must desire to speak to Jesus. Your church is not going to save you. Being labeled a Christian isn't going to save you. You know, I can't just say I'm a Christian. You must know Jesus. Otherwise we get religious with Jesus, you see. But what I'm saying tonight is not, don't leave the crowd, stay in the crowd. But you've got to stand out from the crowd. You've got to be like Zacchaeus and say, you know, I'm going to still follow you with all these people, but Jesus, here I am. I'm not just part of the crowd. I'm not just another number. I'm someone significant. And that's what we've got to do with Jesus. We've got to know that he's got the power to bring us peace in our lives as individuals. Maybe tonight you're sitting here and you need the individual touch from Jesus tonight. Then he's here for you. He celebrates your life. Despite the crowd, despite the magnitude of your need even, because many times our own need can be so desperate, we think, oh, Jesus, are you going to really be able to heal me? 12 years, you know, I've been to every doctor, I've been everywhere. But she had faith, the woman had faith, that Jesus was able to heal her. And Zacchaeus had faith that if he would just see Jesus, something in him would be fulfilled. And he didn't even know what that need was, but Jesus said, today you have met your Savior. So tonight, I believe God is calling us to push through. And either for some of you, it might be you need to just touch Jesus' garment. You need to just say, Jesus, heal me now. Some of you, need to catch a glimpse of Jesus and he will come and bowl you over with your need. However Jesus meets people, it's different. That's why it's so awesome. For the woman, it was just touching him, not even looking in his eyes. Afterwards, she looked in his eyes. But for Zacchaeus, it was like just waiting. Hopefully, Jesus will see me. And when Jesus saw him, his life was changed. And I know Jesus is going to recognize your need tonight. And Jesus' power is going to either save you tonight, heal you, deliver you, give you peace, restore relationships in your life. Whatever it is, bring it to Jesus. That is the word I believe he wants tonight, is for you to push through and forget about your fears, forget about your failures, forget about you've trusted in him, you've stood in faith for things previously, but it never happened. The devil's going to cause that fear to stay there unless you break it and you break through that fear. So I want the band to come forward tonight again. I want us to be honest with where we're at with Jesus tonight. Bring our needs to Jesus and say, Jesus, I trust you that if this little need is going to be met, I know you're going to meet more needs. You're going to change more lives. And then you're going to start changing lives through me, Jesus, because you're real to me. Amen. God, Jesus wants to give us testimonies, guys. Like this woman, or like Zacchaeus, we read about them many years after it's happened. And he wants to give us testimonies that we can write stories. And it's not about writing books and selling books, because that's what people normally do. They have a testimony and then it's all about making money out of your testimony. And that's not what it's about. It's simply a testimony that he wants to give you because you were real with him. You were honest with him. And then he came to meet that need and you said, Jesus, be glorified. That gives him so much glory. It's not about just going through the motions, because that's when we get casual with Jesus. But are we desperate? Do we desire? Do we then believe that he can meet that need? So I want us all to close our eyes tonight. I want us, while you close your eyes, or stand and then close your eyes, otherwise you might fall. Let's just stand tonight and say, Jesus, tonight, here I am. as an individual. I'm part of this church. I'm in the crowd. And it's lacquer to be in the crowd. It's nice to be in the crowd. Because there's this place of safety. But tonight, Jesus, you see my individual need. You see me. I have the choice tonight to be like Zacchaeus or the woman and just reach out and touch you. I have to sometimes push through the other people that are also passionate. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here tonight and you are moving, Lord. And where you are moving, Lord, there's people following you. There's so many people following you all over this world, Lord. Your kingdom is of every tribe, tongue, and nation, Lord. It's awesome. It's so big, Lord. But yet, your kingdom and your rule is made up of individual lives, Lord, that are so special to you and precious to you. Lord, we thank you for these stories of Zacchaeus and the woman that pushed through the crowd, Lord, that showed their faith, Lord. Faith not in themselves, faith not in faith, Lord, but faith in you, Jesus, that you were the answer to their specific needs and their desires. And Lord, tonight we want to say we are truly desperate for you, Jesus. We desire you more than anything else, Lord. So many other things fulfill us, Lord, but we still have this need sometimes in us that just says, I want to be with Jesus. And Lord, you know our time. We don't have hours and hours to spend on top of a mountain reading your word and praying, Lord. But thank you for those moments that we desire to just push through and touch you, Lord. Those moments where we want to climb a tree and watch the crowd below us and just then see you and have you see us, Jesus. Have you look into our eyes and recognize us and just say to us that you love us and that you affirm us and that you want to change our lives, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for every person. I pray for every need tonight. You know every need right here, Lord. You know physical healing needs, Lord. You know emotional stuff, Lord. You know relational strains that there are. You know challenges that there are with studies, Lord. Stresses about whether we're going to make it or not in life. Whether we're going to really fulfill this career that you've called us to. Or this course that you've called us to study, Lord. The fears of failing, Lord. The fears of not living up to certain expectations, Lord. So many fears that grip us, Lord, but tonight we bring it to you, Jesus. We know you're the answer for that fear, Lord. You bring calm and you bring peace, Lord. You bring healing and you bring deliverance, Lord.